We appreciate your presence this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's present. We have a beautiful Lord's Day and thankful for the good singing and the good Bible study and the Christ-focused lesson by Brother Neil. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, repeating Naaman's mistakes. In 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, the first 5 verses, we read about Naaman, who was captain for the king of Syria. But Naaman made certain mistakes, and a lot of people are making the same mistakes today. We notice here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 beginning, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment." We notice here in our text that Naaman, he was a captain. He's a very important man, captain for the king of Syria. He held a high position. It says he was a great man. He was honorable, a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Leprosy, of course, was a terrible disease. There was no cure for it. It meant death eventually, and I'm sure it was very painful. Somewhat like terminal cancer would be today. And so a little maid that had been taken captive out of Israel told Naaman's wife that the prophet in Samaria could heal Naaman. And so when this was heard, the king was told, and he sent Naaman with a letter with silver, gold, and garments to the king of Israel. We notice the mistakes that Naaman made. Yes, Naaman was a captain in the army. He's a leper. And in his desire to be cured of leprosy, he made a number of mistakes which are still being made today. We need to examine our life and see if we're making the same mistakes that Naaman made. First of all, Naaman went to the wrong man. He went to the king rather than God's prophet. The maid had said that the prophet in Samaria could heal him. The king had no power to heal Naaman's leprosy. We notice here in 2 Kings 5, verse 6 beginning, says he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And so here the king of Israel was upset. The king there of Syria had a nerve to send him a man to cure him of leprosy, that he was not God, that he couldn't cure him of leprosy. And he thought the king was seeking a quarrel against him. Naaman was willing to pay well for the cure. Yes, he brought gold, he brought silver, he brought raiments to give to the king to cure him of that leprosy. We notice here in 2 Kings 5, verse 5, "The king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. He departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment." He thought that he could pay for being cured of leprosy. Just think, 10,000 pieces of gold. That certainly would be a fortune today. But he wanted to be cured of this leprosy. Also, Naaman thought for himself. He had planned beforehand how he was going to be cured of this leprosy. He had it all planned out. In 2 Kings 5 and verse 11, "But Naaman was wroth. He went away and he said, 'Behold, I thought,'" excuse me, "'he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" And so he had it all planned out. He thought that the prophet, the man of God, would come out and put his hand over him and call upon his God and cure him of that leprosy. And so he was wroth. He was angry because it didn't happen like he thought that it would. He protested God's way, and he wanted to substitute what he thought was better way or better waters that he could wash in. In 2 Kings 5 and verse 10, Elisha, who was the prophet of God, that sent and told Naaman what to do to be cleansed of leprosy, he sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, as thou shalt be clean." And so here Elisha the prophet clearly told Naaman, "You go and wash 7 times in the river of Jordan, and you'll be cleansed." Well, we notice here in 2 Kings 5 and 12, notice what Naaman said. "Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" And so he turned and went away in a rage. And he said, "Now is the waters in Damascus better than the muddy Jordan River?" And he went in a rage. He was angry because he wasn't told what he thought he should be told to do. We notice the servants of Naaman persuaded Naaman to obey the prophet. In 2 Kings 5, verse 13 and 14, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean?' And then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed." And so we see here when Naaman obeyed what the prophet told him to do, his flesh was cleansed of leprosy. His flesh was like that of a little child when he obeyed the prophet of God. Many people today making the same mistakes that Naaman made. Yes, the mistakes of many sinners. Many sinners today are going to the wrong man. They go to the wrong person and ask what they must do to be saved. They go to someone that either doesn't know or else someone that wants to deceive them and lie to them. A denominational preacher, one that doesn't know the truth. You can't go to the wrong person or the wrong man and expect to receive the truth because they either don't know it or they want to deceive you. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the one way to the Father. In 1 John 4, verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Jesus Christ is the Savior. He came to seek and save the lost. And it's Christ that tells us what we must do to be saved and how we're to worship and serve God. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ is the one way. And if we want to know what to do to be saved, we need to turn to Jesus and find out what he said. Christ has the words of life. In John 6 and verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Jesus tells us what to do to receive eternal life. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so it's the words, the teachings of Jesus, that will judge us in the last day. Are we obeying Jesus? Jesus says the wise man is the man that hears him and obeys him. The foolish man is building upon the sand, is the one who hears and doesn't obey him. Yes, Cornelius sent for Peter. In Acts 11, verse 14, says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And so Cornelius was told to send for Simon Peter, who would tell him what to do to be saved. Notice what Peter told Cornelius in Acts 10, 47, 48. He says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And so Peter told Cornelius and those in his house to be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. We know that there's some today that think they can pay their way to heaven. If they give a lot of money to certain churches or certain individuals, they think that that'll give them salvation. Just like Naaman, he brought all that silver and all that gold and the raiment to give to the king if he would cure him of leprosy. Yes, they think their money will set off some of their sins. We notice in Acts 8 and verse 18, says, when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You can't purchase salvation or forgiveness with money or material things. We're not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Also, a lot of people today are like Naaman. They think for themselves. Naaman had already thought out how he was going to be cured of leprosy by the prophet, but he was wrong. A lot of people today, they think they know how they can be saved. They think, well, faith alone. You don't need to obey Christ. As long as you believe and you accept Jesus as your Savior, you can be saved. In James 2 and verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Faith only will not save us. Faith is essential. Faith is necessary. But faith leads us to obedience to Christ. In Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so to go to heaven, we must do the will of God the Father. It may seem right. Faith only seems right. Many denominations teach that it's the most wholesome doctrine, faith only. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, notice here the wise man said, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Because it looks right, it seems right, doesn't make it right. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so we can't direct our own steps. We must follow Jesus and obey him. In Proverbs 12 verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And so the fool thinks that he's right in his own eyes. In Proverbs 21 and verse 2, every way of man is right in his own eyes. And so we can't go by what seems right or what feels right, but we have to do what is right, what Jesus said to do. They'll say church doesn't matter. Join the church of your choice. That seems right to man. There's 40-some thousand different denominations today. They all teach a different doctrine, have a different faith. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Who does it belong to? Christ is the builder. He's the head. He's the foundation of the church that he built. He purchased it with his own blood. In Acts 2:47, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so when a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord adds them to his church, the one that he built. Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. He's saving the body. The body is the church. Yes, they protest God's way of obedience. Like Naaman protested, he became angry at what the prophet told him to do. A lot of people today become angry at what Jesus said they must do to be saved. Yes, not by prayer. We can't be saved by prayer. The sinner's prayer, a lot of people talk about it. It's not in the Bible. We read about Acts 8:22, where Simon, who had been a sorcerer, was told to repent and pray. He says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We notice that Simon had already been baptized. He was already a child of God. And then he sinned. And then he was told to repent and pray. A person that has never been baptized, never obeyed the gospel, they're not to pray through to be saved. In Acts 8:13 says, Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Why baptism? Most people today say, well, baptism is not essential, even though the Bible clearly teaches it that it's necessary. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so Jesus clearly said you must believe and be baptized to be saved. And yet people reject that. In Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so those believers were told to repent and be baptized for the remission or forgiveness of their sins. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so to get into Christ, to put on Christ, it's in baptism. Yes, they want to substitute prayer for obedience. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Substitute infants for believers. An infant doesn't need to be baptized. They're innocent. They're pure. We don't inherit our father's sins. Yes, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized. Little infants cannot be believers. They cannot repent of sins because they have not committed any sin. Also, men substitute sprinkling for baptism. They sprinkle a little water on someone, a little child, and they call it baptism. Paul said in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Yes, when the eunuch was baptized, they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him, and they came up out of the water. They want to substitute denomination for the church. Why not just be a member of the church that Jesus built? Yes, instead of some denomination that man or women have built. Yes, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. There's one body, Paul said in Ephesians 4, one body. Ephesians 1:22-23 tells us that one body is the church. He hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so it's so plain, it's so simple. And yet millions of people don't understand the truth, or they're not willing to accept it. They want to substitute man's way for God's way. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yes, Naaman finally gave in to God's way. He obeyed the prophet, and he went and dipped 7 times in the river of Jordan, and he was cleansed of that leprosy. Yes, we need to do what God says if we want to be cleansed of our sins. Yes, the old muddy Jordan River cleansed him of leprosy. He obeyed the prophet of God. If you're lost in sin, why don't you obey God's word? Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. All those that obey him. If you obey God, you'll be free from your sins. Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Yes, they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Many today are making the same mistake that Naaman made. They go to the wrong person. Yes, the wrong person won't tell you the truth. Go to Jesus and to his word. You can't buy your salvation with money or gold. You must obey Jesus. You can't be saved by faith only or by a sinner's prayer. It may seem right. It may look good. But what does the Bible say? And so you must obey from the heart the teaching of Jesus to be saved. And so let's not make the mistakes that Naaman made. Yes, he went to the wrong person. He thought it could be bought with money, and he thought it a certain way. It wasn't the right way. And so let's follow Jesus Christ and his teaching, hear him, and obey him. And if you're here this, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Jesus invites you to come. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood. He suffered that death so that you might be saved. But the plan of salvation, the gospel, is you must have faith. You must believe. You must repent of your sins. You must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you must be baptized to wash away your sins. And so if you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. The Lord will add you to his church and then live a faithful Christian life. You can go home to heaven. And so if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, why not you come now while we stand and sing this song?